Rabbi Daniel Wolf speaking about mechanical worship and emotional worship, story of Shmuel.
Very nice to be here. Okay, this is a little departure of what I usually do, but it's good to be surprised. So I hope it'll be okay. All right. So the topic of this year is Eli and his sons, mostly Eli. His sons are quite unambiguous characters, and they're Anshei Bliyal, Ashei Lo Yadu Et Elokim, and they're bad people, and it's not very, and that's very clear. What I find in here, in Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's a sort of sums it up. But Tihi Chatat HaNa'arim Yudolam Ma'od, the sins of these youth, it doesn't quite capture it. Na'arim and fool, it's somewhere between fools and youths. It's hard to translate, but it's somewhere between fools and youths.
What pasuk are you reading?
We're in Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Zayin.
Thank you.
Sums it up, and the contrast to Shmuel is clear. Ushmuel mishachet et pnei Adonai, na'ar chagur ifod bad, umeil katan, and he's also here. Also, the phrase na'ar is used, but in a slightly different sense. Umeil katan taselim mo, and a small jacket or coat his mother had made him. V'halta lo miyamim yamima ba'alota et yishal uzboach et zavach hayamim. And his mother made him this coat to wear as she brought her devotion, her korban, every year. So here, in these two psukim, we really have the contrast, which I think follows the beginning of Shmuel, between Shmuel and Chafni Upinchas. And of course, the comparison also exists in Perek Aleph. In Perek Aleph, we have the famous story of Chana, that Chana comes to the Mikdash because she is barren. We read it on Rosh Hashanah, and we learn most of the halachot, the Hilchot Tefillah, from this Perek. And she is barren, and Eli thinks she's drunk. Now, one could read it as a simple misunderstanding, but if I would tell the story to my friend, or if I had viewed it personally, that would be a possible interpretation, that Eli, just missed something. It's unfortunate. Every rabbi has, sort of said their stupid thing to someone walking in the shul, and there's been a misunderstanding. But if the Tanakh tells it as a story, as the opening story to Shmuel, you have to believe it has some significance. That the misunderstanding of Eli is not a simple, unfortunate error, but is something endemic to it. And here, as we saw in Perek Bet, where we had a clear reference, a clear dichotomy between Shmuel and the sons of Eli, obviously we have something, we have a similar contrast where Chana comes with a pure and holy intent, and Eli just doesn't get it. Why he doesn't get it is going to be the topic of the shiur now. There's another part which is extremely befuddling, and that is in the same parak in Perek Bet, Pasuk Chaf Bet. Ve'eli zaken ma'od, and Eli is very old. V'shama et kol asher yasun banav, and he has heard all that his sons do. And this refers to what was described before, that his sons were eating the meat from the zvachim in a barbaric fashion before the Haftarah of the Chalev, before God got his portion from the mizbeach. They were eating, they stole the meat, they took the meat, people pleaded with them, please wait until we're Makir on the Mizbeach. And they said, no, we eat first. We eat raw meat, and we eat it first, and we eat as much as we want. And if you do not like it, then we will take it by force, by violence. And here, Nidal, Vihikab Bakior, they grabbed the, Umishpat HaKohanim et Ha'am, and the rule of the Kohanim with the people, Kol Ish Zover Zavach, any person that wanted to bring a Zavach, Uvan Nar HaKohen, Kivashel HaBasar, and the youth of the Kohen comes as the meat is being cooked, Vahamazleg Shaloshinayim Bikior, and he had a pitchfork with three prongs. Vika Bikior Obidud, and he struck the utensil in which was the meat. Oba Kalachat Obiparur, Kol Hashem Biyashem Yaleb Bimazleg Yikacha Kohen. And whatever he grabbed, he took. And the next pasuk, Gam B'Terem Yikturun Achele, Vahanara Kohen. And even before the chalev was burnt on the mizbeach, he came and he said, "Tina basar l'tzlot hakohen." V'lo yikach mimcha basar mevushal. I will not wait until it's cooked. Ki imcha, I will eat it raw. And then the person replied, "V'yomei laveish." And the person who's bringing the korban says, "Kateyik terun kayom." Let me bring the chalev on this mizbeach. That is the purpose of the korban. And then afterwards, kasher tavan nafshecha. And there's time. How long does it take to be maktir the chalev? Va'amar lo ki atatite. No, now. Vimlo. And if you don't give me now, not later. Not the same amount, but now, lakachti b'chazka, I will take by force. So that this is summed up in the end of the pasuk, that it's a niyatzua ha'anashim et minchach Hashem. They have blasphemed, they have defiled, they have used the mizbeach as a means of procuring in some kind of a carnivorous rage, meat, more meat, the more meat the better, the faster the better. And that is called niyat. But as obnoxious and disgusting as that sounds, it seems to be pale, but what's mentioned in Pasuk Chabet. Ve'li zaken ma'od v'shama et kol asher yasun banav. He has heard all the misdeeds of his son. L'chol Yisrael, ve'et asher yishkivun et anashim hatzavot petach al moed. And he has heard that they are taking sexual favors from the women who come to petach al moed, such as we read in Perek Aleph, people that have problems, people that have pain in their souls. They come to bring a mincha l'Hashem to voice their fears, to voice their bakashot, as Chana did. And what are they greeted with? And apparently successfully. And the phrase yishkavun is somewhat ambiguous. Is it rape? Is it some kind of pressured sexual favors? It's ambiguous, but that ambiguity certainly allows the possibility of the worst. What's difficult about this is sort of mentioned as an aside. In other words, the main problem of Eli is this eating the meat, and then almost as an aside, it's said that Eli has heard about what his sons do, all that his sons do, including these sexual favors, which is not said in the previous parak, and it's only said in a kind of a backwards way. Yeah.
I'm just trying to straighten something out. In your gimel, mishpat hakohanim as kolish, blah blah blah. Is that something beyond pinchas and chafni?
No, that's pinchas and chafni. The emphasis here is, and that's one of the suggestions I'd like to mention, is that it's a mishpat. It is not, listen, everyone, no one is perfect. And there are even great characters in the Tanakh that have missteps. And actually the person that comes to mind is David HaMelech. So there are people who we generally view positively who had missteps. Reuven, David, also in, on one level or another, by Chazal, they have missteps. The point here in the Mishpat HaKohanim, that it is not a misstep at all. This notion of Basar is the Mishpat HaKohanim. This is what is done. This is the Mishpat. This
but
is the rule.
It's spread beyond Pinchas.
No, this is Chafdi and Pinchas. But this is the standard of worship in Shiloh. It is not some kind, they woke up, they had a bad day, they were mad, they were very hungry. No, it is a Mishpat. This is what is done. So this phrase of Yishkabun, it's being stated in this backhanded fashion and not being included in the bill of prosecution that previously occurs, that is probably what led one day in Chazal to say this is lav dafka. This doesn't exactly mean Yishkabun. It means it's something else, which is bad and somehow connected to sexual favors, but we are not talking about rape or sexual favors of people that come to the Mikdash.
Yeah. Just a thought that may bolster the other point of view. The word that's used is Hatzavos, right? Yeah. In yesterday's parsha, we had that term with the Kiyar and the whole. What is it? The pieces of copper. He uses the term Hatzavos, which goes back to the mirrors, etc. So it's going back to a. Sexuality used in a very positive way, and here we have the same word being used.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I thought, I actually had arguments to Rav Amnon. Rav Amnon thought Tzavot basically referred to that, the people bringing Klei Mikdash to the Mikdash. I thought it referred more to something like Chana, because of the juxtaposition. Someone that comes to Beit Hashem to be Makriv a Korban, and that's actually what Chazal also interpreted, people who are coming to be Makriv a Korban. And one day in Chazal is that they sort of weren't makriv the kinim right away. They weren't makriv the korban yoledet right away. And they stayed over, and there was some pritzut in the mikdash that they are held responsible to. That is one day in the Gemara. Obviously, the phrase asher yishkavon certainly doesn't sound like that. All the classical mefarshim are mefarshim kipshuto. In Chazal itself, it's not clear whether there's a day that's cholek. This is day quoted in the day of Rabbi Bar Chana. It's not clear if that's the, you know, position of Chazal as a, or just one position. One day holds interpreted like that, but another perhaps interpreted differently. That's not exactly clear in the difference we go. But right, then we're. You know, the same phrase by David and by Reuven is used. Kol ha'omer kafni v'finchas chatu eino elatora. The same phrase is used. They obviously they don't reread the first parsha. They say heim chatu in the basar, in the eating of the meat. Question is here whether there was real you know sexual relations in Shiloh, which is just hair raising. And part of the reason why they said this is based on Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why isn't that the focal point? As miserable all their other acts are, this is just beyond contempt. Yeah.
I mean, he did not. Eli did not. Vayomer lahem lavatan sunken verma elat. I mean, that pasuk comes right after the pasuk about Yishkavun.
Right.
So it seems to me that it is not an aside. It seems to me like that was the last straw, that he almost the meat. When he speaks, but when it comes down to the prostituting in front of the oil, that is just. Worse.
No,
that's he spoke to them.
That is Eli's position.
But the
narrator of Shmuel does not say that.
Well, because the narrator tells the position of Eli, and I think
he doesn't say it as himself. And there's a lengthy discussion about the basar, and the sikum beforehand is that, and nothing is mentioned about the sexual thing. What?
The basar needs a lengthy discussion because we might not understand what they did was wrong. But here it's not that.
How about
it's
clear.
The truth is, if I had these two things, I would have said, you know, the basar, leave that, you know, I you know, it's so, it seems so.
This was the worst.
What?
I think to Eli this was worse, and that's why.
This is to Eli that was worse. And obviously, if this is Kipshuto, it's.
Well,
I think
what it does.
It's so worse.
It completes the picture because you have both the transgressions bedon lamakom, and now you have transgressions bedon lachavera. So it was just between bedon lamakom and the disagree component.
I disagree. I mean, they threaten violence. They threaten people with stealing the meat. People wanted to bring their carbon in a certain way.
Can be temporal also.
I think both elements exist in both. But
it's very graphic. It's meat and meat. I mean,
it could be more grossly graphic.
It's meat and meat.
No, I think it's clear. I think there might. I think one possible alternative.
What's the difference?
Listen, this is the reason why Chazal backed off on it. I think the Malbim asked this question, and then he quotes Chazal. So I think it's obvious that Chazal, who reinterpreted Yishkavun to mean something else in a minor sense, that these problems are what led to Chazal to believe it. I think another possibility of difference, why it's mentioned in narration, and this is only placed in the words of Eli. Is because perhaps this isn't the mishpat. Those are things that happened. Truth is, it's used in the present tense, asher yishkavun, which means sort of an ongoing thing. But I don't think it's a mishpat. It's not a rule like in the Avodah Zarah that they have to, or these Roman things that had, you know, all sorts of rites like that. So I don't think it's a mishpat, but it did happen, perhaps more than once. And there was part of it, as we noted, it does seem like it's part of the general atmosphere of barbarism and quote unquote, you know, it's hard even to say the words meat, but you know, that's the way Chafetz Yehuda Pinchas viewed it, and I think that's totally accurate. I'm still bothered by it. Does seem pshuto shel mikra that it did happen. Why isn't it more of the focus of the Na'atzu et Minchat Hashem?
It could be temporal also. One of the things that always strikes me of the way Korach is structured is there's a rolling tide to keep growing. So maybe it started with the
meat. Oh, right. Okay. Maybe it started with Basar and it sort of devolved into that. But you would have thought that the... you know, that's another possibility, but, you know, as I say, I think the problem still exists. If it's Kipshuto, that's probably what led Chazal to minimize it. It's definitely not a good thing in any case. And it certainly fills out the picture of Chafetz Yehuda Pinchas. I think it's also a very condemning thing of Eli, that he's bothered only by that, and the stuff at the Basar he doesn't even mention. He says he's heard about it. But then, and then he says something very, you know, as it were, par. Vayomer lehem, lama tasun kedvar ha'el, asher nochi shomei et v'chem, ra'im me'et kol ha'am ele. Albany, kilo tov ha'shmua. This doesn't sound good. Asher nochi shomei me'avarim im Hashem. Like, this is all he has to say. It's lo tov ha'shmua. It's like, you know, maybe, you know, I've heard some like rumors. He should be throttling them. There's one part that I'm not going to answer because I don't have a good answer for it that bothered me. People think I'm, when I talk to people thought I was crazy. I don't say, what is Shmuel doing here? You know, we have Pinchas in the Torah of Kanan Pogimbo. Chazal has a masorah that Hagonev et Kisva and Mishareit B'tumah, we say, what is the rule? We say Kanan Pogimbo. Similar. It's Achavakonim Potim et Mocha. We don't bring him to Beit and we kill him on the spot. Here, I think, I'm not not a zealous person, but if I were here, this is both Kazbi Batsur and Gonev et HaKisva and Mitamei et HaMikdash, and I think Shmuel should kill them on the spot. And he sits there and watches, and he continues to serve Eli as you know, nothing has happened. So Chazal does say that Shmuel is a nar, and he's a youth, and he's a Talmid Yoshev Lefnei Rabo, a student is sitting in front of Eli, the elder. But the magnitude and the shocking details, particularly if you say Yishkivun is mamash, just, I mean, I don't know what he's doing in Shiloh, what he's possibly learning from this decrepit, depraved atmosphere. And if I would view the Shiloh as still being Mishkan Hashem, and people were doing this in Mishkan Hashem, they're sons of Kohen Gadol, I think Kanaan Pogimbo is no less, put it this way, there are no two figures that deserved it more in Tanakh than Chafni Pinchas. And Shmuel, as a future leader of Jewish people, albeit he's young, he's enough, at a certain point he should be, we'll see soon that he's old enough to get some kind of quasi-nevuah, or chalom, or something like this. He's someone that hears the voice of God. I don't know how he doesn't respond, but people think it's young, it's understandable. I can't swallow it. I don't understand what his response is. Okay, but that's not...
When he was older, he obviously showed a different
approach. Right. No, he personally showed a different approach, but his response to this violation of the Mishkan Shiloh, whatever, I don't understand. I didn't see anyone that even raised the issue, and I find it... You know, whatever. I find it puzzling. But okay. But I really want to talk more about Eli. What's Eli doing here? Okay, so we have this. So okay, I understand. Eli's arcane mode. He's old. He's tired. He doesn't have the wherewithal, the emotional and spiritual energy to fight with his sons. But still, that's all he has to say. And then what's also interesting later is that Shmuel hears the Dvar Hashem about the future of Eli. And here Eli is condemned in no uncertain terms. Here, Vayomer Adonai El Shmuel. I'm sorry. Perek Yimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Adonai El Shmuel. Hine Anochi Oseh Davar B'Yisrael. I am doing something with the Jewish people. Asher kol shabo titzilen ashtey aznav. This pasuk is made to shock the reader. He says, anyone that hears this, his ears, it sounds like an odd translation, his ears will be fried. B'yom ha'hu akim et eliyat asher dibarti al beito hachel v'chalei. I will do to Eli, and here it's Eli's the focus. Chafniu and Pinchas are not the focus anymore. Eli's the focus. Ve'igadti lo, I will tell him ki shofet ani et beito. I will judge his house ad olam in perpetuity. Ba'avon asher yada ki mekalim lehem banav lo chi haba. He accepted the klolah of their sons, and he did not stop them. I have taken a solemn oath. Now, this phrase of a solemn oath is extremely problematic. What does it when a person says an oath? He's nishba b'shem Hashem. He says, just as God is true, so too is this word is true. And if this isn't true, then he's imputing either God isn't true or God should strike me dead. That's not exactly clear. What is the moral force of a shvua? But what does it mean when God takes a shvua? I mean, we would believe God without a shvua, right? I mean, you know, he told us something, you know. Right, it's not a person that's going to lie and not take it seriously or make some offhanded comment. I mean, so shvua is something which is not clear. Is it a? It just means that something that it's incontrovertible. So he... So first of all, and Chazal say what is this phrase ad olam, and it's an incredible klala. The Gemara imputes that the two Amoraim come, and you know they're old men, they're in yeshiva, and someone says, "Wait, aren't you from Beit Eli? Why are you guys alive? You should be dead." It says in the pasuk she imit kaver avon Beit Eli b'zevachu v'mincha. You shouldn't be alive. I mean, we have masorot about Haman and about Korach and about all sorts of people, different people, that their sons and grandsons lomed in Torah b'Bnei Brak. But Eli not. Eli is worse than Korach. He's worse than Haman. He's worse than Bilam. He's, you know, maybe Amalek not. That's also in perpetuity. But what has Eli done? Eli has been a Kohen Gadol all his life. And what's also interesting is the end. Look. So Shmuel doesn't want to tell him, and Shmuel forces him to tell him. Finally, tells him in pasuk yudchet, "Vayage lo Shmuel kol hadvarim, v'lo chiched mimenu." He didn't hide anything. And what does Eli have to say? What would you say after hearing such a thing? A klala shetitzilenu kol aznav kol shamav. A person has heard the worst possible klala. He is there, and not only that, he has been Kohen Gadol for tens of years, for 40 years perhaps. He was Kohen Gadol. He thought he was doing the right thing. And all of a sudden he hears that he is cursed, in him and his house are cursed in perpetuity. And what does he say? Shod v'shever, this is worse than Egel Azav. Vayomer Adonai hu atav. Adonai who? Hatov be'enav yaseh. He'll do what he understands. You know, do what you think is right. That's all he can do. That's all he can say. He doesn't cry. He doesn't scream. He doesn't make it sound. This is it. Very odd. So here I would like to. So here we have a few different data points. If we were just to review. We have a clear parallelism between Hanan Shmuel and Eli and his sons. Hanan Shmuel and Eli and his sons. Chana davens, Eli doesn't understand. Chafnifim chas niyatsu et minchat Hashem. They're obviously, if they're Kohanim, they're wearing begadim. Shmuel is wearing this other kind of baguette that his mother has made him. It's obvious why his mother has made him this. He's a nar, they're narim. They eat meat. And then Shmuel is the one that delivers to Eli. And here I want to emphasize, the punishment is to Beit Eli and Beit Eli. Chafni u'Pinchas are not even mentioned in this klala.
The expression Ad Olam in this context is not in perpetuity. Chazal have understood that so. When Chana makes a neder, Vayeshev Sham Adolam, he wasn't there Adolam. He was roaming the hills. So Adolam does not mean in perpetuity. It is understanding of the early Chazal.
All right, that requires something. I think the Ad Olam. I'm not sure about your diuk in the beginning of Ad Olam. I think the Yeshiva Beit Hashem. I think that could be viewed in a broader sense rather than just sitting in a geographical place, but sitting in a.
I've wrote an article
as a Misharet Hashem Ad Olam.
There's an article I wrote on it in Israel Law Review. You can look it up.
Okay. Okay. At any rate, I think it is clear. I mean, the pasuk itself says that it is a punishment, which is titzilena kol shoma, titzilena. So it is a shocking punishment, whatever it exactly means. In pasuk Yud Aleph, hinei nochi oseh davar b'Yisrael asher kol shomo titzilena shtei aznav. So it is a shocking punishment. What the exact details? We can argue about, but it's clear that it is a shocking punishment. There's one other place that I think which points up The difference between the acts of Shmuel and the acts of Chafni ben Pinchas, and this appears in a few different places, but one place which is in Parag Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Vayom Shmuel Kol Beit Yisrael Leibor. Oh, I'm sorry. And there's one other story of Chafni ben Pinchas that I'd like to just throw in here, and I'll explain it in a second. Chafni ben Pinchas, what happens is they go to war with the Plishtim, and apparently they have heard about this klala, that they are doomed. So apparently what they do to, quote-unquote, protect themselves is they take along their own Brit Hashem from the Mishkan and Shiloh, and the Plishtim capture the Aron Brit Hashem, and they kill. We didn't read this Pesukim Perek Bet, but the also says one of the punishments of Eli is an oath that both his sons will die in one day, and that's just an oath, right? That's just a sign that, you know, just two sons dying one day. That's just a sign of what's to come. But that's the oath, and that exactly happens when they go to Milchama with the Plishtim, with Aron Brit Hashem, and Aron Brit Hashem is then captured. So here, in Parak Zayin, so here we have a phrase, or we have the beginning, Vayom Shmuel Kol Beit Yisrael Le'emor, Im B'chol Levavchem Atem Shavim El Adonai, Hasiru Et Aleinuchem Mitochechem, remove the Avodah Zarah from between you, Vashterot, V'yichinu Levavchem El Adonai, prepare your hearts for God, V'yivdu Levado, V'yatzel Etchem, remember this phrase, V'yatzel Etchem, I don't think it means from tzel, from you will be protected, Miyad Plishtim. And then it says in Pasuk Tet, Vayikach Shmuel Tzla Chalav Echad Vayaleu Ola Kalil Hashem. What is that in reference to? What is that as opposed to? Ola Kalil Hashem. Chafni and Pinchas did not have Olot, and they were not Kalil. Chafni and Pinchas only were Makkah. I'm sorry. Pasuk Tet. Yikach Shmuel Tlechei Levachad Ve'yala Ola Kalil Hashem. They were interested in Basar. So Shmuel says, you know, you Ola is part, we also have Shlamim, but Ola is also part of our Masoret. The purpose of Mizbeach and Korbanot are not to fill our bellies with raw meat. They are they have a devotional aspect. And here also, Vayizak Shmuel El Hashem Ba'ad Yisrael Ve'yenehu Hashem. So here I think it's obvious, there are a few elements here that are obvious, in the distinction between Shmuel and Chafni and Pinchas. One, Olah, that's Kalil, as opposed to what Chafni and Pinchas, that they treated the Mizbeach as a very large tailgate party. And the second thing, which I think, it's a whole country. So he brings one animal, the whole country. This is a korban that they bring? One animal? I mean, what does it mean? The point is, the animal is just, it's just a gesture. What is the korban of Shmuel? What is the korban of Shmuel? Vayizak Shmuel El Hashem. It is the Zakah al Hashem. That's what Shmuel understands. The point of Karbanot is not that God wants... God is not some super Chafni u'Pinchas. God wants... The Karbanot is a devotion. So the amount that you bring... First of all, you don't treat the Mizbeach as a tailgate party. As a method to get as much meat as possible, as soon as possible. The purpose of the Korban is, first in the parak, is tshuva be'emet, la siret ba'alim ve'ashterot, to get rid of the avodah zarah. And then we're ready to bring a Korban, but the Korban is not the focal point. What is the focal point? This is the Zakah al Hashem. Pasuk Tet, Vayikach Shmuel, and that's why it's only one, it's only symbolic tala. Vayalehu Allah Kalil Hashem, and it's brought as an Allah Kalil without any meat to be eaten by the people as opposed to him. Chafniu Pinchas. Vayizak Shmuel al Hashem ba'ad Yisrael ve'yaneu Hashem. And then God does answer.
Curious, the way you've worded this sounds a lot like what Shmuel wants to tell Shaul.
And right, no, this is a phrase that also appears with Tov Zevach Me Tov Shmo Al Var Hashem, and that's very similar to what happens with Shaul twice. But all right, but right, no, you're not. That's correct. It's a theme. I'd like to focus on this one other part in Yirmiyahu, which I think will draw into focus very clearly what Eli's philosophy is about and how Eli's philosophy deteriorated, degenerated, and I admit that there is a jump, there is a moral and spiritual degeneration, but that it is almost inevitable from Eli's position. Let's give a look in Perek Zayin Yirmiyahu. Let's start from Gimel. Ko amar Adonai Tzvaot, Elohei Yisrael, heitivu darchechem u'mal aleichem, ve'eshkena etchem b'makom hazeh. Be better people. Be better people, and I can be in your mishkan. Al teftuchu lachem et divrei hasheker le'mor. Do not rely on the lies that say, heichal Adonai, heichal Adonai, heichal Adonai heima. What is this repetition? It's almost ridicule. That don't rely on the people that say it's the Heichal Hashem. It has to save us. What is that symbol? What does that ring of? Chafniu Pinchas, who take Aron Brit Hashem to battle with the Plishtim, and they're terrible people. They're on Shei Belial, Shei Lo Yadu Et Hashem. But they think it's magic. They think it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. They have the Aron Brit Hashem, and then the arrows of Plishtim are just going to bounce off. It doesn't matter that they've used and abused and defiled the Mishkan Shiloh and the Aron Brit Hashem in numerous ways, which we can't quite be sure about how horrible what they've done is, but they think it's magic. They don't understand that Hashem protects tzaddikim. They think Hashem protects his physical, you know, gizmos. He has gizmos. And the gizmos are, and the Aron Brit Hashem is a wonderful anti-tank weapon.
But it wasn't Hophni Pinchas who initiated his bringing up. It was Zikne Yisrael.
I think they're viewed in the same... You're talking about Yirmiyahu?
No.
Okay, I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it, and the fact that they're killed along with it, I think. And I think that perhaps because of Eli, that has permeated their that thing. Let me just read a little bit on in Yirmiyahu, and you'll see what's going on. Geri atom v'yalmon alo ta'ashku. We're in Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Vav. Lo ta'ashku v'dam naki al tishpichu b'makom hazeh. V'achrei Elohim acherim lo teilechu l'ra lehem. V'shikanti, and if you do the right things, then I'll be with you. V'shikanti etchem b'makom hazeh ba'aretz asher natati l'avotechem. L'min olam v'ad olam. Again, the same kind of phrase. Hini atem botchim lachem al divrei ha'shekel bilti ho'il. You are relying on these lies or mistruths. Hagonev, Rotzeach, Noek, Vihishaval, Shaker, people that steal and murder and have sexual licenses and swear to falsehood, Vakater Lebal, and Oveda Vadazar, Vahalacha Kreel, Himacharim, Ashelo Yedatem, Uvatem, and then you come, Lamadatem, Fanai, Babayat Hazem, and then you stand in front of me in this house, Ashenikre Shmielab, Vamartem. What's the phrase? Nitzalnu, the same phrase about tzeil, which is protection, which we had in Shmuel. Leman asot kol atovei ta'elu, hamarat paritzimaya abayit hazeh. So here God is saying something, which is, this Nebuah says something very, very bold. listen, no one is perfect. And Tanakh knows no one is perfect. And everyone has their personal faults. So why don't you say, listen, somebody that does wrong things, but he brings the Mincha Nezevach. So, okay, he's brought Mincha Nezevach, and he's done bad things, he's done good things. You know, he'll be punished for the bad things, and get a reward for the good things. This is not what it says here. Someone who believes that brings the Zevach, and that will protect him when he's a bad person, basically believes, and this is my position, this is what I think the Chet HaBeli is, believes in a mechanistic God. Believes that God has gizmos, that Kedusha is gizmos. It's some kind of radiation, some kind of force field that God imbues with his, with the objects that he has, and they protect who's ever holding them. It doesn't matter what they've done. And he also thinks, and this is also part of in the beginnings of the Catholic Church, this was very common. People knew that these popes were disgusting people, and they did all sorts of things. They developed this ideology that if you physically give money to a person that is legally defined as the continuation of the church, that grants you, that grants you something. That gives you the annulment and whatever that caused the Reformation to large degree. That is basically what Eli holds. Eli thinks Hophni and Pinchas are doing bad stuff. He knows they're doing bad stuff. But there's no reason, but they are physically Kohanim. They are Bnei Aaron in some sense. They are not continuers of the word of Aaron. They are not holy people by any stretch of the imagination. But physically, they are Zera Aaron. And Eli thinks, if you are Zera Aaron, and someone brings you a Zevach, bingo, that grants you kapara. That grants you points. Now, what this is basically is saying is that God likes meat. He wants meat. And if you give him meat, he's happy and he'll protect us. Why? Like, I don't know, like a mafioso will protect people who gives him money. No one thinks it's moral to give the mafioso money, but we give him money, or some people give money to be protected. That's how Eli views God. There's one very interesting thing. There's a phrase in Karbanot a number of times, Vayach Hashem et Yireach HaNichoach. I looked up the number before I came and I thought I would remember. I think 37 times the phrase Reach Nichoach appears in Tanakh. Every time Onkelos translates it, particularly in Noach there, it says Vayach Hashem et Reach HaNichoach, says Vizkabel Berava. God accepted it willingly. Nothing to do with smelling or breathing somehow ingesting it in some kind. No. God wants our devotion. That's what Chana understands. Eli has an immoral God, and that's why when visited on his punishment, he has nothing to say. He can't say HaTzadik kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat. For him, God is something else. It's some kind of a Greek God that if we give him sacrifices, he'll protect us and do good. And if we carry his aron with us, you know, we're going to beat the plishtim, even if this idiot Shmuel wearing a little kid wearing a mil katan has the Dvar Hashem that says we're doomed. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And that's why Eli doesn't understand Chana. Why daven from the heart? Bring your mincha, if it's good enough, if it's fat enough, if it's big enough, God will have a full belly and will do good things for us. And here, and this is basically what is happening in Yirmiyahu. And what is the connection? So let's read on a little bit in Pasuk Yud Bet. Hamarat Pratzim Ayah Bayit Hazeh, is this house?
Where are we?
I'm sorry. Perek Zayin Yirmiyahu Yud Aleph. Is this a house where I hide? Is it den of thieves where people hide out for thieves? Ki lechuna el mekomi asher b'shiloh. Go look at Shiloh, Asher Shikanti Shmi Sham Barishona, where I was originally. Ru et asher lo v'pnei ra'at am Yisrael. So this is, and then in Pasuk Yudalet, v'asiti l'bayit asher nikrir shmi alai asher atem botchim bo l'makom asher natati lachem l'avotechem ka'asher asiti l'shiloh. So here the connection to Shiloh and to the Kuna Gdola Ve'eli is clear. It's explicit that this is what the people before the Churban HaBayit thought, that they would be protected by this preeminent Kedusha from this overwhelming sanctity, no matter what they did. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gives through Yirmiyahu the simple and direct phrase, no, that is not what sanctity is about. The Mikdash is not some magical thing that we can rape and steal and kill and violate everyone and then hide in the Mikdash. What is the purpose of the Mikdash? What is the purpose of Karbanot? To miyached et Hashem, to come is a makom tefillah. And yes, Karbanot can be a facet of that avodat Hashem, as Shmuel brings a Karban. But what does he do before the Karban? He called Bnei Yisrael for tshuva, to rid themselves of the avodah zarah. He brings a symbolic Karban, one talef, for not for a single person, brings one talef for all of Klal Yisrael. And with it, he's zoek al Hashem, and the same phrase tzilana, which the people at the time before Churban Bayit doesn't have. And here the pasuk definitely harkens back to what's happening in Shiloh and the ideology that exists then. So here, what I would like to suggest is basically that Eli is somewhat a moral person. Eli knows these things are wrong. However, he has an ideology of the Mikdash, of a non-devotional ideology, of a mechanistic ideology, of some kind of a magical quantity of the Mikdash that will protect the people coming in it God finds that ideology itself abhorrent, because it imputes to God, perhaps a single God, but it imputes to God a kind of avodah zarah, a kind of notion of idol worship. And that is also why Unkelus, although it's part of also against Hagshama, but also translates about Adreach and Yichawach. And that's why we see all these things. He doesn't understand Kana. He's not flabbergasted. He doesn't fight against this terrible Onesh. But this notion of mechanism, first of all, in it itself is abhorrent to God. Second of all, it almost necessitates, it puts an incorrect ideology and an incorrect priority on ritual sacrifice in terms of real devotion. And it allows for people like Chafni Upinchas. And therefore, Eli is damned with Chafni Upinchas, not only because he didn't mention anything, but that his position inexorably led to the kinds of violations that exist with Chafni Upinchas. And therefore, Eli and Chafni Upinchas are a group. Chafni Upinchas are beneath contempt, and therefore are killed with no further ado. Eli and Beito, because he has adopted this corrosive, abhorrent ideology which imputes avodah zarah characteristics to God and inevitably leads to further deterioration of Shiloh, he is in clear juxtaposition to Shmuel, which understands the place of Zevach and in the proper context as part of tshuva and devotion to Hashem. Yeah.
If Eli had this ideology, shouldn't he have been more shocked at Shmuel's nevuah? Because it's not just a question of Shmuel saying your family is gone, but here he's saying your whole ideology, everything you believe about in the Beis HaMikdash, is wrong. That's essentially what flows from Shmuel's Nevuah. So if this is what Eli believed, he should have been more shocked, more taken aback
I don't think he even understands. Oh, there's just one other part which is clear, and the Gemara makes this. And therefore, the Shvuah is not only that he can't do Kapara, he can't do Tshuva. That's not exactly what it said. It says, Im Yuchupar B'Zavachu V'Mincha. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, B'Zavachu Mincha Lo, Avu B'Tshuva V'Torah Masim Tovim Kedem. Because that's the point. He needs another Zavach V'Mincha. That's their whole problem, that they're focusing on the Zavachu V'Mincha. So he takes a Shvuah that you, and I think Eli is so thick that he doesn't understand the phrase. He says, "Im yuchupar b'zavachu mincha." So Eli says, "Oh, that means I can't do anything." He has nothing else in his arsenal. He has nothing else to lekro b'shem Hashem. What does he have? He has zavachu mincha. You told me I can't do zavachu mincha, so then I'm worse, and I have nothing else to say. And God isn't supposed to be moral. I have no expectations of a moral God. So. All right, I guess I'm in for a rough ride, but there's nothing, that's it. That's all I can say, is that God should do what he sees fit. I have nothing to rejoin or to respond. He views the Shvuat Hashem, that there can be no kapara with Zavach HaMincha, as slamming on the door of any kind of further supplication to God, because that's all he has. Whereas the phrase, I think, is absolutely clear that it's allowing an opening for other kinds of devotion. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this your ideas are supported even further by one of the pasukim which we skipped over, but it says in Yirmiyahu and Zion pasuk Hey, he imhetiv tishu et arkechem et ma'arechem yes what I said before. The phrase "Heitiv" to me harkens back to the first Korban.
That's different than
that. That's exactly what God says in "Heitiv."
This expression "Min Ha'olam."
So the concept of correcting your ways, Adolam, if you decide to do good,
also the phrase appears in Shmuel's in that. That I read before, he also opens up within second. I'm sorry, I'm not in my hand. Shmuel Zion, in the beginning, it also uses the phrase. Vayev Mishmuel Kol Beit Yisrael. Oh no, I'm sorry. I don't remember. Okay, but right. Okay.
Yeah. If a mechanistic ideology is being rejected, then why all the mechanics of Kachim is so replete with so much detailed ritual? There's many different types of carbonos. Why not just one tleh like Shmuel offers?
We have there's actually one Gemara which I think is interesting. There's one Gemara in I think it's Kuftal Menachot that says Echad Amar Beva Echad Amar Mir Uvavachi Chavim Uvav Shem Shamayim. And there the emphasis is that there are times when the Torah says a behema or a mincha or an elf. You know, there is this notion of karban olav yared, where minachot are. That's what the Gemara says. That minachot with a pure soul is preferred. But I would answer about the Dr. Kanud, and also. But by the way. On the side of that, I think should be noted that they're very, the areas of Machshava and Kachim is a very interesting area and a place where, at least in the words of in the Olam of Chazal, had a very important role. So, I sort of waver about the mechanism that does exist. Are they simply demands to do things in the exact way in order to somehow get our machshavot on the proper plane? Or is the non-mechanism and this devotional aspect something that has to go along also with the mechanism? In other words, is it a total rejection of any kind of a mechanistic philosophy and any kind of a notion like that? Or to say that sort of in the side of the mechanism, a basis of that has to be true devotion, and the mechanism by itself cannot stand. If you do have the devotional aspect and you are Korei B'Shem Hashem, then the Zebach does have a place. I sort of waver between those two parts, whether if you also have some of the Parshiot of Valmum, I think you can there at least some of the psulim are phrased in terms of HaKrevenu Na L'Pechatecha, that the sort of skimping on the details is seen as a kind of a lack of true devotion. So it could be seen as that, or it could be seen as kind of a two-tiered thing, but the devotional aspects is a major point. If you want to also, if you look in the reason for Karbanot, Ibn Ezra does sound slightly mechanistic tone. In the Ramban, he takes a more psychological, spiritual approach to all of Karbanot. So that's an interesting question. Yeah. Yeah.
If Alien was Mr. Mechanism, then why didn't it trouble him that his children, his sons, if that was the main thing, they weren't doing it, so it should have been even more troublesome.
Somebody once told me, he also wondered about, he was talking about Rages and Love Sark. Anyhow, he mentioned also that he's not a Kohen, so it would be a psal, it's a mechanistic psal. So he's sort of asking, like, even on the level of mechanism, what Chafnir Pinchas was doing was wrong. It's not clear that they're leaving any Chaylev, or they're not taking the wrong pieces. I'm not sure what the answer to that is, exactly why, even just in a purely mechanistic, halachic thing, approach, why isn't he shocked, why doesn't he object more vigorously? Maybe the mechanistic rules sort of get bent a little bit easier in the face of human wants and desires and appetites, and if it's real devotion, then that sort of holds your things in check. I've met a whole number of people who have found all sorts of creative and novel notions to allow their different desires, whether it to take liberty in monetary matters and sexual matters, and sometimes I'm flabbergasted both at their innovative intellectual dishonesty and in their appetites and their immoral desires to achieve those goals. But maybe that's also a lesson, that when you believe in mechanism and you let your desires, and you don't develop a true inner self, a true moral and holy self, the mechanism itself doesn't even hold. That it also deteriorates to bizarre degeneration, as we see with Chafnir Pinchas.
Hasidic argument against the Litvaks. Hasidic argument against the Litvaks. Even without Bernie Yore.
What?
Even without Bernie Yore, I would have said that.
I don't view Litvak ideology strictly in those terms. I think there were perhaps individuals that did not develop enough on both sides of the fence, that did not develop that inner moral and pure voice that blocked these things.
Use your hands to do what? choose my normal side of Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh
Hashanah.
They had the story that they had the risk and that they had the risk to make a special and someone attacked.